So I thought today was going to be hot and 95 degrees, and it was a few days ago, so I thought it'd be a good time to preach on hell. Well, it is the summertime, and it is going to be hot before it gets cold again, but I'm going to talk to you this morning about hell, bad news, and good news. So the doctor looked at the patient and said, I have good news. And I have bad news. What do you want first? The patient said, well, give me the good news first. The doctor said, the good news, this, is you have only one day to live. Wait a minute. You're telling me that the good news is I only have one day to live? What in the world's the bad news? He said, I was trying to get you yesterday. I want to talk to you this morning about a subject that is real, that is serious, and in many ways it is bad news, but there's good news. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, 11. Stand with me as we go to the Word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 11. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Proverbs 15 and 11. As we talk about hell, the bad news, and the good news. Let's read this out loud together, Proverbs 15, 11. For here you have the bad news, and you have the good news. Ready? Let's read. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. That's bad news. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? That's the good news. Father, anoint your servant to preach the word of God, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said, amen. And amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking healthy. Amen. Aren't you glad you have more than one day to live? At least we think. You may ask Pastor Ricky, when it comes to the awful, somber, dreadful subject of hell, you know, that's a downer subject. It should be. How can you find really any good news when we talk about hell? You know, it kind of reminds me of the oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron phrase is? It's like when you have two words together, but really those words are diametrically opposite. For example, blind eye. Have you ever heard somebody say, I've turned a blind eye? Well, those two words are really contradictory, but we use them together. It's called an oxymoron. We use the phrase nothing much or plastic glasses. Has anybody got plastic glasses? Here's a real good oxymoron, sanitary landfill. Or here's a real good one, especially now in these days. This is an oxymoron for sure, tax return. Come on now, amen. You see, you may think it's an oxymoron to talk about good news and hell together, but you can find good news. There's bad news and good news. You see, there's not a lot of preaching about hell in America today, and that's why America is going to hell. You see, if we had more hell preaching in the pulpit, we'd have a lot more heavenly living in the pew. You see, we've got a lot of preachers preaching 3 points to a better success, or we have a 5 points to a better self-image. Well, my friend, what if you get success and go to hell? How much is that going to be successful? Or you can have the best positive image in all of the world, but if that positive image takes you to hell, and if you have self-esteem, what good is that going to do? But I want you to know that what we really need to hear is some preaching about hell. We need to know the bad news because we can't really have the good news until we know the bad news. But the point I'm trying to make this morning is that there is good news. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus is on the throne, and God has sent his son to die for us. And I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to go. Can we praise God for the good news about hell? Number one, good news, we know about it. Somebody say we know about it. The fact that we know about a place called hell, because the fact that we know about it gives us a chance to do something about it. Someone say to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And if you catch a cancer spot on your skin and they discover it, it's good news in the sense that you found it in time enough to do something about it. You see, you've got to understand that there is a real place called hell. Somebody said one time, I just can't believe in hell. If you can't believe in hell, then you definitely can't believe in heaven. Because the same book that talks about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the clouds of white and the river of life is the same book that tells us about a place of the doomed and the damned and the dying where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You can't take it or you can't have some and have not have the other. There is a heaven that is real and there is a heaven to gain, as the old timer said, and they what? Hell to shun. Hell is real. It is livable. Some people say, well, hell is just a figment of you. When you die and you're not ready to go to heaven, you just kind of are in a bad dream. No, hell is real. It is literable, literal fire, tangible. It is an awful place. Listen, how do we know that there's a place called hell? Well, the prophet Isaiah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, he has 66 chapters in his prophecy. There's 66 books in the Bible. The first 39 chapters of his prophecy are pretty much negative in tone. The last 27 chapters of his prophecy are positive in tone and speak of redemption. The Bible has 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. Isaiah is the gospel preacher of the Old Testament. He's the one that told us about that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and with the chastisement of our peace is upon him. He is the one that told us about the river of life, where the lion shall lay down with the lamb, where the wicked shall cease their trouble. He's the one that told us all about those glorious things. But the prophet Isaiah tells us in five different scriptures about hell. The Psalms. How many of you love the Psalms? You love Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you love the Psalms, please understand that even in the Psalms, there's the mention of hell. Psalms 9 and 17 said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. Go to the end of the book. John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 14 and 11 said this, graphic. I want this to sink in. I want this to disturb you. I want the children to hear it. I want the teenagers to hear it. I want those that are about to die to hear it, the aged. I want everyone to hear Revelation 14, 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. By the way, time out. People think you'll go to hell for a little while and you'll get another chance. The scripture says, once you go to hell forever and forever, they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, Isaiah has told us about hell. The psalmist has told us about hell. John on the Isle of Patmos has told us about hell. But let me tell you somebody who really validates it. Jesus has told us about hell. 15 times in the gospel, this is the bad news, folks. 15 times in the gospel, he mentions a place called hell. Of 1,850 words that Jesus said in the Bible, 13% of them deal with the subject of hell. You see, Jesus mentioned the Sermon on the Mount. And we talk about the Sermon on the Mount. And you'll even hear liberal theologians talk about blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are the meek and blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they talk about the beauty of the Sermon on the Mount. But they must not have read the whole sermon, because that sermon says in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without his cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rachel, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of what? Hell fire. There is hell fire mentioned in that great sermon, Mark chapter 9, verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, then pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Everyone shall be salted with fire and the sacrifice salted with salt. But the most graphic description of hell from our Lord is in Luke chapter 16. And many people say this is a parable. The Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on your door will explain this away as a parable. And they are wrong, and they're going to lead you to that burning inferno if you invite them in and drink a cup of coffee with them. And yes, I said it, and I don't apologize for it. Write a letter to the pastor if you want to. I'll own up to it. where they're good people, and I don't want to be unkind, slam the door and tell them to get down the road. Or open the door and say, I have some good news for you. Bad news first is you're going to hell if you don't know Jesus. Good news is he loves you and died for you. Try to win them. But best thing to do is send them on out of the way and pray that God, their eyes will be open in love. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says, there was a certain, that is not a parable, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus that was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried. Somebody say, was carried. By the angels into Abraham's bosom. That was the old form of heaven. The rich man died and was buried. Somebody say the word buried. Did you see the difference in death? The person who was saved was carried. Hallelujah. The person who died, not saved, was just buried. Oh, my friend, when I die, yes, my body will be buried, but I'm going to be carried away out of this world into the glories to come. That's the good news. Can you say amen? The bad news is he was buried. And verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So that tells me you can see in hell. He was in torments, plural, which means it wasn't just a pain and it kind of faded away. It was a continual pain, torments. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is a graphic description. We need to get it in our mind, get it in our spirit. This is a real place. There is a real danger. It is a place, an awful place. It is relationally painful. It is a place of darkness, no fellowship. It is emotionally painful. You're weeping and gnashing of teeth because you're remembering how many times you had a chance to get saved and you said no, how you chose alcohol over holiness, how you chose a relationship or an affair, sexual relationship over purity, how you, when the preacher called, you sent him the voicemail because you knew he was just going to get on your nerves about coming to church. I'm going to say things that Pastor Jerry can't say, so I'm going to say it for him. Don't quit sending him the voicemail. Answer the phone because we don't want you to go to a place called hell. It is physically painful. It said, he said, would you please take some water and put it on my tongue? Oh, my friend, it is no timeouts. There are no rest stops. You know, when you're on a long trip, whew, take a rest stop. When you go to hell, there's no rest stops. There's no 15 minutes break. You know, when you work an 8-hour shift and you get a 15-minute break, that is some precious 15 minutes. And all working people said, amen. and vacation, you've worked. And man, Friday at 5 o'clock, I don't have to go back to work to the following Monday a week. And I got a whole week off. And man, that stretches out. And finally, you get no vacations from hell, no reprieve, no time out, no rest. You know how it is to be weary and tired. And I just sit on the couch and unwind and watch a little TV. There's no rest. There's no recourse. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't find yourself on a road to that place called hell. That's the bad news. But the good news is you know about it. You know about the cancer, you can treat it. You know about the defect in the car, so you don't buy it. You know the house has termites and about to fall down, and you don't close on the house. Isn't it good to know something before you commit to it. My friend, the good news about hell is you know it. It is real, not a figment of an imagination, not some kind of la-la land. Can't be that bad, Pastor. It is bad, and even worse than you can imagine. But the good news is we know about it, and we can save people, and we can be saved. Somebody shout amen. Some people think they're doing God a wild... Two things. Some people think they're doing God a wild favor by coming to church. Brother, if you're not going to that place called hell, he's done you a favor. People say, well, I don't want to get saved just to not go to hell. I did. I heard about hell. I didn't want to go. I said, Lord, save me. Well, I don't want fire insurance, hell insurance. I do want hell assurance that I'm not going. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Get back to hellfire and brimstone preaching. Now, I'm not talking about banging people over the head. I'm not talking about being judgmental. I'm not talking about looking down your nose and that one's going to hell and bless God, I'm going to heaven. I'm talking about in grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. The good news, I was blind, but now I see. Somebody praise him this morning. Good news, we know about it. Say amen. The good news is, number two, not everybody's going. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many. Somebody say the word many. Now, that's the bad news. There are a lot of people going to hell. That breaks my heart. There are many. There are many. In fact, Isaiah, who I told you about a while ago, actually in the scripture, I didn't have it on the screen, says hell is enlarging itself. Friend, please understand that if you are not ready to meet God in death, don't trifle with your salvation. Don't say, well, I just don't like Christians or the church or the preacher. Don't matter if you're in flaming, burning hell, does it then? Come on, don't trifle with this. Don't, well, are we going to church today? I don't know. I think we'll just stay home and watch Fred Sanford or something. No, that could be the Sunday your family gets saved. Come on. This is serious business. I know this is hard preaching, but we need it. I need it. Amen? It's time to wake up. We got a lukewarm church. Our coworkers, if they don't know the Lord, imagine your coworker burning and yelling. And you know what's going to be bad about it? Is they're going to want to know on Judgment Day why those Christians didn't get on me more. Amen. Folks, we got to win souls. When I gather at Christmas, when I gather at Thanksgiving, when I'm around my family, somewhere I'm going to weave in their need for the Lord, because it might be the last time. Heart attacks take people out just like that. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? And I ask people, what about your family that's not saved? Well, they're just not going to church. Sounds like to me you're not that worried about it. Worry about, well, they're a good person. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. Listen, you go to heaven because you're saved. There are a lot of good people that are going to be in that place. A lot of people that have done good things because, let me tell you, I'm going to get to this a little bit later. There's only one way to avoid hell, and that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if they don't know the Lord, if they're not saved, then pray, then fast, then aggravate, then be sweet, you know, bake a cake, promise, take them out, do whatever, come up with strategies, lay hold on the horns of the altar, because many are going to hell, and I don't want my family to be part of that group. I don't want my neighbors to be part of that group. I don't want them to go to that place. A lot of people are going. In fact, kind of reminds me, and I've said this before, and some of you haven't heard it, but there was a tomb, you know, they have the gravestone, and used to they put epitaphs up there. Now they don't do it. We have the markers that lay flat, but this was back when they were erect, and it said, this man had on his epitaph, "Behold and see as you pass by. For as you are, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death, you will follow me." But somebody left a little sticky note up there and said, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know for sure which way you went." Oh, bad news, a lot of people are going. Good news, not everybody's going to hell. Elijah said, "There's nobody. I'm the only one." God said, "I've got 7,000 who've not bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his foot." I'll tell you that John on the Isle of Patmos said that in Revelation, "And after this I beheld a great multitude which no man could number, of every kindred, tongues, tribes, and nation, and people stood before the throne." Let me tell you, Jude said the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. Paul won't be in hell. John Wesley, who preached on horseback up and down the roads of Georgia in the colonies, will not be in hell. D.L. Moody, who led 1 million people to Jesus, will not be in hell. My great-grandmother will not be in hell, who took a little 5-year-old great-grandson to church when nobody else would have took me to church. Granny, thank you. And because of you, you're not in hell, and I won't be in hell. Oh, somebody praise him that not everybody's going. Not everybody's going. You talk about racism. The Bible says every candid tongue. So first of all, if you're a racist, heaven's not going to be a very pleasant place, because there's going to be black people there. There's going to be brown people there. There's going to be Muslims who've gotten saved there. Amen. I'm talking about Arabs, I should say. There's going to be all races there. People talk about, well, what are we going to do for racism? I'll tell you what will handle racism. Preach hell and get people saved. Then that'll kill racism. That's very simple. Because a true born-again white man ain't going to be KKK and ain't going to have sheets and ain't going to burn a cross. Those folks were of the devil. They were of a political party, too. I ain't going to call that out this morning and get things stirred up. That same political party is doing the same things and trying to blame it on everybody else. But I'll tell you this, friend, that a truly born-again Christian, you love your black brothers and you love your black sisters. A truly born-again black woman loves his white brothers and his white sisters, and we love the Indians. Because one day when we realize we're not going to burn in hell, we don't care what the color of our friends are. Praise God, we made it. I want you to stand and give him a standing ovation. Thank you, Pastor Jerry. We're going to do it. A standing ovation. Hallelujah. Not everybody's going. Hallelujah. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious. Hallelujah. High five somebody and tell them you're not going either. Amen. Number 3, good news about hell is, by God's grace, I'm not going. Ricky Nelms. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm hot right now and I couldn't take much more. I'm sweating. Cut on the air conditioner. No, don't do that. Some of you would be too cold. But by his grace, because I ain't made it to heaven yet. By his grace, I accepted Jesus. Let me tell you something. Conviction. My grandmother took me to church. I heard preaching. And they would talk about hell. They would talk, and I would think, my goodness. And somebody had a tract. A tract is a little piece of literature that you read it. It tells somebody how to get saved. And this tract was a cartoon. And yes, back in those days, I was into cartoons. I am not now. Don't put on no animated movie. I'm checked out. I haven't raised kids. I'm sure if I did, I would be into cartoons. But I saw this cartoon track, and it had this man said, "I came back from hell." It's a true story. A man died and said he went to hell, but he was able to be resuscitated. And that track scared me to death. And my daddy got sick and went to Duke Hospital for several weeks. And one night I was at my grandmother's house. My other grandmother, say my great-grandmother, but this was my other grandma, my grandma Nelms. She was a Church of God lady. And they got to talking about stuff that just scared. I thought, you know what? Time to get saved. So I found my way to the restroom because I knew I had privacy. And I asked the Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Because let me tell you something. I knew I had already sinned enough to be responsible. What was that called? Conviction. There, you know what the problem is? We don't have a lot of conviction today. Too many people think, well, I'm a good person. And oh, well, we're living together, but I'm a good person. You're in sin. And you're in danger of hell fire. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't let them off the hook. Tell them bluntly, plainly, and lovingly. You are in sin. It is wrong. You will die. If you die in the arms of your lover that is not married, then you will have pleasure while y'all sleeping together. It'll be fun. But I'll tell you something. You die in your sleep, it won't be fun for all eternity. Don't play with your soul. And don't sugarcoat it out there. You got children and grandchildren. Tell them lovingly. Don't do it judgmentally. Don't do it like you hate them and like you want them to go to hell. But do it with a broken heart and loving heart. And offer them to stay with you until they get married or something. Implore them and say, and if they come back and say, well, we're sleeping in separate rooms, tell them, very funny. That don't work because it might work for 3 days, but fourth day, that old flesh is going to come back and cause problems and temptation. It's just natural. That's why you don't live together until you're married. Oh, hallelujah. Don't have your boyfriend staying over either. People are slick. Amen. And the temptation is hard. Hey, David could fight the lion and he slew the bear. But when he saw that woman taking a bath, it just ruined him forever, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you something, friend. We've got to let people know. We've got to tell them. There is a penalty to sin, and we've all sinned. Friend, please hear me. I'm not telling you you're a bad bunch of sinners. I'm just telling you, Ricky Nims, I knew I had already sinned enough to be responsible, and I was really afraid that if I should die in a car wreck or something, I was only 12, you know, I wasn't going to get sick or something, but that's always a possibility. But I prayed, and I said, Jesus, I have sinned so much. If you can just, in your mercy, forgive me, I will forever serve you and be thankful. And I felt the burden and the weight. I felt like Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. I had the burden on my back. But I came to that hill called Calvary. And I'll tell you, I walked into the restroom, an old sinner. But I walked out of that restroom, and that burden rolled off my back because of Calvary. He took me in, Brother Ray. He forgave me of my sins. And then I lost the fear of going to hell. And now I'm on my way to heaven. And the good news about hell is, by his grace, Ricky Nims ain't going. Can somebody say amen here? John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer. Y'all remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Do y'all remember what he did? We're not going to go into it now. Google it if you need to find out more information. That man was a horrible human being. I'm not Adolf Hitler. Well, I'm glad you're not. And you probably are a good person. Maybe you contribute to the offerings. Maybe you help kids in the neighborhood. But the scripture doesn't say that he that is a murderer is condemned already. It didn't say he that was a homosexual is condemned already. It said he that believeth not. The greatest sin that will cause to have the greatest judgment is rejecting the offer and the sacrifice of the Lord. And that's what you're doing. So think of this. You die and you stand before the judge. And don't we detest unfair judges? Judges that can be bought, judges that will let somebody get off because it's their uncle's friend or something. No, we got to have judges that will not pervert justice. And God, although he is all love, he is also all justice. And you're going to meet the all-just God. There's 10 commandments that's going to be put before you. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. Well, everybody said, I ain't talking about everybody. I'm talking about you in the mirror. You will stand before God. And that judge will say, have you ever lied? Have you? Have you ever looked with lust? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you ever looked at another human being and lusted over them sexually? Then you've broken a commandment. Have you ever stolen? Did you remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? That means once a week. You made it your priority. You made it your goal. You made it your all, as much as within you, to be in worship in God's house among God's people, not sitting at the side of the pool drinking lemonade and saying, I'm worshiping God, me and God's having our own thing going. No, you're breaking a command. You're to be in church. Some good, strong preaching, ain't it? Let me amen myself here. I'll tell you right now. Boy, I got a swimming pool. I got need. Amen, preacher. I ain't going to sit by that swimming pool and worship. I worship on Monday night, but not Sunday morning. I don't want to see that swimming pool. I want to see you. Well, I worked all week. It's my only day off. Well, who helped you work all week? God is the one. That never has made sense to me. People will tell me, I got to get up every morning. Well, listen, we don't start church at 5 a.m. We start church at 10:30. Come on in at 11 if you want to drag in. That's fine. I'd rather you be late than not be here at all. It's a command. And we're going to stand before God, and we're going to be judged by our. And now you're a good person. And you say, well, God, I didn't murder. You didn't murder. But then he'll play back this thing in your mind where you got so mad with somebody, the only reason you didn't murder them is because you knew you'd go to jail. God say, what about that? You just lacked the opportunity. The motive was there. Friend, we're going to stand before him, and we're going to give account of ourselves. And when I realized I could not save myself, I couldn't turn over enough new leaves. It'd take the forest of Amazon for me to turn over new leaves. There's not enough. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. Listen, you need a new life. You need to be born again. That only happens when you say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. You must repent to be saved. Don't say, I'm going to get saved and go back to my old lifestyle. You repent. And now listen, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean once you get saved. Listen, when I got saved at 12 years of age, do you think I've had some struggles in those? When I was a teenager? Come on. I was a normal teenager, normal temptations, normal crazy mess, but God worked with me. I kept going to church, and the preacher would help me, and the deacons would encourage me, but God didn't give up on me, and I never fully walked away from the Lord. I struggled. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means this. Thank God I'm not going to hell. He saved this old boy. Can you say amen this morning? And he'll do it for you. Oh, but let me tell you this. Years ago, there was a man who was driving up the Kentucky Turnpike, and, you know, they have the toll booths, this guy came behind a car. It was a white Cadillac, and the white Cadillac moved on, and the toll booth operator, as this guy was coming up, was waving him on. Well, he hadn't paid, and so he slowed down, and the toll booth guy was waving him on, and he looked at him, waving him on. He's like, I haven't paid. And there's a big crowd of cars there. And the guy in the toll booth said, I told you to go on. Well, I haven't paid. I said, go on. Did you see that white Cadillac? That man in that Cadillac said he knew you and he paid your toll. Now go on. When I stand before the throne of God and the gates of heaven, I'm going to see a nail-scarred hand. Just, you know how I'm going to get to heaven? Because he paid my toll, not because I'm some good person. He paid it all. When we get to heaven, go on in. Winter thou into the joys of the Lord. What a glorious day that it'll be when we understand that by God's grace we're not going to hell. Amen. And then number four, I guess the best news about hell is, number one, that we know it. Say amen. Everybody isn't going. Say amen. Good news that Ricky Nelms is not going. Say amen. And the best news is you don't have to go. Tell your neighbor you don't have to go. Hell is actual. The Son of God affirms the reality of hell. The character of God demands the necessity of hell. People say, well, is there really a purpose? Why would God send people to hell? Well, let me just put it to you like this. Really, in a lot of ways, you send yourself. And also, do you want to go to heaven with Jeffrey Dahmer if he's not saved? Do you really want heaven to be another version of this crazy, corrupt world? There will come a day when the wicked will cease their troubling and the weary will be at rest. Now, God can save a Jeffrey Dahmer, and God can save an Adolf Hitler, but they didn't intend to get saved. They didn't want to get saved. And I promise you, I don't want to see their face in heaven, and it won't be much of heaven if I got to share it with Adolf Hitler. It's going to be heaven when I'm with the redeemed and those who love my Lord and those who've served him. That will be heaven. That'll be church. That'll be glory. I tell you, you turn on TV and these commentators get up there and they just spew their crazy ideas that are just damnable, and they just come up there and think they're just some philosopher. And I don't want to spend heaven with that crowd because they're of the devil. They don't love God. They want to do all this stuff that's going to destroy people's lives. There's a big battle going on. But friend, there's coming a day that God's going to right the wrongs, and his character demands the necessity of hell. They will have their just deserts. They have fought against the Most High. They've gnashed their teeth at him in earth. They will gnaw their tongues in hell. They had their chance. They had their opportunity. Their own conscience, they had to override it and overstep it. They had to go in with those who are running to do evil. They had to tune in to those who stoke their ego. Friend, there is coming a day when the rift raft of this world, Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. He will turn them over to their own desires. He will look at them and say, I never knew you. And that is a just good God that, yes, will send people to that place that they have chosen. Let them be, and it's on their head, not upon a good God who sent his Son, by the way, who died on a cross, who they plucked his beard out, and they put crowns of thorns on his head. They spit in his face, and God said back while they crucified his only begotten Son. He did that so that they would not have to go to hell. And if they go to hell, God is just and good. Good news, though, is I'm looking at a crowd of people that you're part of that redeemed. Amen. You don't want to go with that crowd. You want to be among the sanctified. I don't want to watch those movies. I don't want to listen to that music that glorifies sin and defames and defaces all that we believe and hold dear, our precious Son of God. I don't want to hear you take his name in vain. Listen, hell is actual, hell is awful, but hell is avoidable. One day, Vice President Calvin Coolidge was presiding over the Senate. And you know how senators are on the floor. One, they get angry, and one senator yelled at another senator, "You go to hell." And the senator that was told to go to hell said, Mr. Chairman, this other senator told me to go to hell. What are the rules about that?" And he was expecting him to throw him out or something. And Calvin Coolidge flipped through the rules and everything, and he said, "To the senator who was told to go to hell, I've looked at the rules, and I have determined you don't have to go." Tell somebody you don't have to go. Well, I'm closing. Brother, just go ahead and cut the air conditioner off. I want to get a little hot in here. I want you to feel sweat. It's even by God's grace that we can rejoice in his grace. Did you know that there's actual place in America called Hell, Michigan? Has anybody ever been to Michigan before? Anybody ever been to Michigan? I know you a bunch of Southern folks. You ain't dare go way up there. Y'all been to Michigan? Yeah. Anybody else? Has anybody ever been to Detroit? You been to Detroit? Well, if you're in Detroit and you go west, There's Ann Arbor, Michigan. Then there's Lansing, Michigan. But between Lansing and Ann Arbor, there is a literal town called Hell, Michigan. Literally, that's the name of the town. So I checked it out, and I went to Google Maps, and I put in Hell, Michigan, and sure enough, it found Hell, Michigan. It's between Ann Arbor and Lansing, not far from Detroit. And when you go to Google Maps or you go to MapQuest, when you search for a city, they do some advertising on the side. So, like if you say Wilson, North Carolina, it'll say hotels in Wilson, insurance in Wilson, you know, health insurance, life insurance. It'll say hotels, insurance. It'll give you some, it'll even say real estate in Wilson. So what they're trying to do is advertise. So if you're going to Wilson, you can get real estate, insurance, you can get all these things. And sure enough, when I looked up Hell, Michigan, it said hotels in Hell. That's exactly what it said. Real estate in Hell or Hell insurance. Find insurance rates in Hell. I'm like, whoa. Let me tell you why I'm preaching this sermon this morning. I don't want you to go to a hotel in the real Hell. I don't want you to find any real estate in Hell this morning. I do want you to have, as Pastor Nate said, and a little bit playing off of what he did, I do want you to have insurance, but not insurance. I want you to have assurance that you're not going to a place called Hell. That may be Hell, Michigan. That may be the real Hell, but tell somebody you don't have to go. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Now, as I close, and we're going to pray in just a moment, found out, I put in Westmoreland Pentecostalist Church, and I put in Hell, Michigan. I found out, according to Google Maps, that from this parking lot to get to Hell, Michigan is 742 miles, or 11 hours and 46 minutes. So if you don't stop, use the bathroom, don't stop and eat. So you can be there right at 12 hours. Listen to me. From here to Hell, Michigan takes about 12 hours. But from here to Hell down there could be 5 seconds. Your heart stops beating. Pull out in the road. It ain't going to be 700 miles. It could be 1 mile down the road. And you might find yourself in Hell. I promise you, He loves you. He died so that you didn't have to go to Hell. But I also want to warn you that you have a decision to make. And you need to repent and ask Him into your heart. And here's the good news after all that bad news. He will forgive you. He will write your name down. And He will grant you a place among the redeemed. Would you stand this morning? I want you just to lift your hand and praise Him this morning. Father, we thank You for the good news about Hell. As we begin this summer, God, and there's going to be some hot, hot days. Maybe be reminded, Lord, yes, Lord, and in the uncomfortable heat that You have redeemed us from that worst place. And we thank You that You've saved us, that You've saved us. And I just want to ask this morning, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and can we just bow our heads and close our eyes, just in case somebody here, maybe you are living together, move out in the name of the Lord. Today, don't wait tomorrow. Pack your bags. Take the kids. Whatever you got to do. God will open a door. Make everything in your effort to be saved. And you don't want to find yourself lost. He is offering you forgiveness. He's offering you mercy. Repent of your sins. Confess, Jesus, I have sinned. And I don't deserve Your grace and mercy, but You died for me when I didn't deserve it. Thank You. Now please forgive me. Come into my heart. Cause me to be born again. Don't let me try to turn over a new leaf on my own. I can't do it. Forgive me, Lord. And I promise you, if you'll say that sincerely from your heart, you will be gloriously and wonderfully redeemed and saved. And then you can walk with Him. And then you can make other arrangements. And then He'll put your life back together. Can you say amen? Now, you can look at me, and we're going to make one final prayer this morning because we're getting into the summer months, and I know everybody's busy, but I want to tell you something. My prayer today, because most of you, I'd say 99% of you, I don't know everybody exactly, 100%, you never can say for sure, only God knows. But if you know the Lord, how many of you know the Lord? Let me ask that. Raise your hand high. You know the Lord. You, praise God, you're not going to hell, amen, because of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen? The good news, we're not going. Here's the next step. Will you do everything as God gives you the breath when you teach that class on Wednesday night, Brother Philip, Sister Tammy, and others, when you come to this church service, when you do everything over this summer holidays and beyond, will you do everything in prayer, maybe even fasting, but God give you a boldness and wisdom to help people to realize that they are in danger and that you have good news for them. Will you make that your prayer this morning? Let's close in prayer on that this morning. Just stay right where you are. We're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, help me to be a soul winner. Help me to save a soul from hell. I can't do it, but I can point to the one who can. Lord, help me not to be lukewarm. Help me, God, to go all in. Thank you, Lord, for those Memorial Day. There are many soldiers who died for their country, but Lord, you died for our salvation, and I pray, God, help us to be a soldier of the cross, to see that our family and our friends and our loved ones, let's give them the good news. Let's proclaim that there is insurance, and we don't have to go to hell. If that's your prayer, say amen. If that's your prayer, come on, lift your hand up and say, Lord, baptize me with fire, Holy Ghost fire. Baptize me with boldness. God, I want to see my son saved. I want to see my daughter say. I want to see my children say. I want to see my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, my mother, my father, my aunts, my uncles. I want to see a revival. I want to see people saved from that awful place. Now give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Well, when you know you're not going to hell, it'll put a spring in your step. Amen. Blessed, Pastor Nate started it, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, washed in His blood. Come on, this is mine. This is my story. Yes, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day. One last time, Memorial Day weekend. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Last line. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. All the day long.